Okay, so you're on for all the Purim, Torah, Purim, Torah. Okay, so pretty Erev Purim, sort of Erev Purim, not Erev Purim. Purim Chaliyos, I want to say Shabbos. What? Yeah. It's not so interesting this year. Right. The more interesting is Purim Meshulash, when it really falls out in Shabbos, and then if there's talk about splitting up the different mitzvahs, that's a fascinating. Yeah, it does. It happens every once in a while. Yeah, I went to Eretz Yisrael 1 year, and it's great, great Londos. It happened like 3 years ago. We might have talked about it a little bit. You know, I don't remember anymore. I mean, I think it was Purim Meshulash that year. Yeah, Purim Meshulash is a great topic, but alas, didn't work out for this year. What I'm talking about today is some of the great practices for Purim. So we had a shaykhim about cross-dressing, but there are other menhagim as well. So I want to talk about three things. One you've heard a little bit from me about, but let's see. What? I wonder who the shaykh was from. From the 11th grade class. That's funneled through their ambassador.
Interesting that they were...
See, last night I thought I was initially talking to your mom, but now I realize that I was really talking to you.
Okay. Me the whole time.
What?
Me the whole time.
I'm saying, you just gave me to yourself. Anyhow, okay, so I want to talk about three things. One thing we talked about a little bit before, but I think it's worth mentioning a couple of makoros, which is shvils, which is also known as Yom Kippur. But the notion of specifically playing the Purim rabbi, playing that role. Number two, talk about cross-dressing. Number three, talk about stealing on Purim. Horrible thing to do. Don't steal, but maybe the mal is a little bit less simpler. Simple. Even Kalayim is an interesting one. So here we go. So we know that as a general matter, Purim has a significant degree of levity, right? And that leads to two opposite sort of conclusions that you find among the poskim and earlier sources. On the one hand, greater leniency. But on the other hand, there's sort of like a clamping down that sometimes happens, because precisely at the moment when we kind of allow for certain things to be looser, that's exactly where they get dangerous. Around more serious issues like drinking and things like that, which are really very severe. But even around just like the general frivolousness of a day, you know, for example, if an adult who's responsible really does drink in a halakhically appropriate way, you know, sometimes a person can be borderline in terms of their ability to stand in daven Shmoneh Esrei. So there are halakhic questions that come up every year about, you know, can you daven, can you not daven? Again, we're talking here about adults who are able to, you know, to handle alcohol properly. So these are just really interesting questions that come up. So today I want to talk about the issues that I mentioned, which have a really interesting history. So at first glance, all of these things are obviously usher. The Torah says in Parshas Ki Tse that it's usher to cross-dress. What does the Torah say? Well, it's true. It's a pasuk in Chumash, more broad. And the Torah calls it its hoeva, you should just know. Ki yilvash ish yishiva, right? Lo yilvash gever siman isha. By the way, do you know there's a famous Targum Yonasan ben Uziel who says in that pasuk, this is not, I do not quote this halach lemaisa, but in this context, but he says that for a woman to wear tzitzis is a violation of cross-dressing, and success on that pasuk. That's very explicit. So it's actually one of the things that's quoted, but it's not really quoted anywhere else. But anyhow, so... Right, Leil Bashkevar Shemas Isha, and not vice versa. Kito Avas Hashem Kol Oseila, very severe language. So that's with regard to cross-dressing. What? Both ways. It says explicitly both ways. Indeed, this is codified in the Rambam, it's codified in Shulchan Aruch. It's in Yoreh Deah. It's an Isser Min HaTorah. So what gives? Why? How could it be? Why is it that there's even a Shaila talk about cross-dressing on Purim, around Purim? Have you ever heard of such a thing? What?
I have Mrs. Pearl in our room.
Well, that's right now. As I said, it's a Halacha L'maisa Mamish. So that is the question that arises. And I will tell you that I came across this Shaila the first time by a very prominent rabbi, a very prominent, very well-known rabbi, who was teaching at Frisch at the time. And he was one of the assistant principals or whatever it was. And every year he used to come to the... No, I didn't go to Frisch, but I saw him in his costume once or twice. Every year he would go to the Frisch Megillah night. They have like a Frisch community-wide, like all the students, parents, alumni, you know, former parents, whatever. They're all invited to come to Frisch on Purim night. And they have a huge, massive series of Megillah readings and a big party in the whole nine yards. And there's one rabbi who came in every year as the rocking rabbi. The rocking rabbi had a very complete costume that involved a skateboard, which is very, very cool. But he decided to dress up as a female rabbi. And not that he looked like a rabbi, but I just mean he was called the rocking rabbi, and yet he dressed up totally cross-dressed. I mean, like 100,000% mamish, like l'chol davar. And he used to go, and he would like spin and go crazy and like do all the skateboarding tricks. Skateboarding some years, and I think maybe roller skates other years. So he would like dance like on his roller skates, like spinning around in his skirt the whole nine yards. So it came to me then. But the truth is, this has a venerable history. And if you take a look, right, we were talking about this a little bit last night, but the earliest source for the possibility of a kula of cross-dressing on Purim comes from the Mahari Mintz. The Mahari Mintz was a late Rishon from Ashkenaz. I believe he was German. And the Mahari Mintz says that it was the custom in his community to cross-dress. That's what he says. And the question is, why is that permissible? Why would it be? Okay? So he justifies it in a couple of different directions. One of the things that he suggests is that it's possible that cross-dressing is permissible on Purim because, right, defending the common practice, wow, defending the common practice because he says that really maybe the nature of the Isser is not an intrinsic Isser in cross-dressing, he says. Maybe the nature of the Isser is what we call pritzos. What do I mean that the nature of the Isser is called pritzos? So if you take a look at Rashi's commentary on the Torah, Rashi actually says, Zalatar, that the reason for the Isser is because men are going to dress like women, and then they're going to go among the women, and women are going to dress like men, they're going to go among the men, and they're going to basically be involved in sexually inappropriate activities with other people. And they would have been allowed into, you know, as it were, the men or women's locker room because they were dressed up. And they would trick everyone, like that kind of thing. Right? Good. Touches on this issue of transgender a little bit, although here we're talking more about someone who does it for pritzos purposes rather than, right? In other words, directly because they want access, not because they genuinely feel my identity is X. That's the issue now. This is a different kind of thing. Here we're talking about just someone in order to get in. Does it that way. So Mariman suggests, well, maybe based on this idea that it's only Mishum Pritzos, that would explain why this might be permissible. He also notes, by the way, it wasn't just on Purim that they had this minhag. He says that they used to do it at weddings. And we'll see more about weddings in a few minutes. He says that was the practice. By the way, where does this come from? This came from a medieval Ashkenaz. It was common practice among Gentiles. This is just what they did in the Middle Ages. In the Middle Ages, it was very common as part of their celebrations to get dressed up, and we're going to see that they would do jousting and all sorts of other crazy, wild things at weddings and stuff like that. And what happened was it kind of influenced the Ashkenaz Jewish Middle Ages Jewish community as well, and the minhag started to spread among them. As part of the wedding celebrations, for example. What? No, I'm saying it's just why it became common. And Mari Mintz observes that this is something.
Is there any of dressing up at all in like Sephardi communities?
Oh, so we're going to talk about that. There's nothing. There's no history. A lot of these things don't have history. And that's why Rav Avadia is so strict about it in part. He says Ashkenazim were wrong and the Sephardim knew better and never did such a thing. That's correct. Sephardim have a very different kind of set of minhagim around this. Now, based on this Mari Mintz and the Ashkenazic practice through the Middle Ages, the Rama, even though in Darkei Moshe, which is commentary to the tour, he questions whether or not this is correct in the Raman Shulchan Aruch, the very, very end, or the penultimate siman in Or HaChaim is Tafresh Sadivav. There are 697 simanim in Or HaChaim. Okay, so that's a good trivia question. So 697. The last one is about Purim Katan. Okay. It's about Adar Aleph and Adar Bet. Mechaber wrote it. That was his own. Right, he actually wrote them out that way. The last one is about Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, and the one before that is about some of these different minhagim on Purim. So that's in 696 in the last sif. So the Rama writes. So the Mechaber writes, "Mutar lisa isha b'Purim." So the Mechaber writes that it's permissible to get married in Purim. Why would you have a halim that says to get married in Purim? Because what's the rule? That you can't mix macho. What is that called? Im arvin simcha b'simcha. That's from a yontif. What about? What? Very good. Yeah, moi katan. That's right. Etc. So the question is, right, im arvin simcha b'simcha, does that apply to Purim? So the consensus, some discussion about this consensus does not apply. There's no iser. Right? That's why, in theory, you're allowed to have mika bar mitzvah or bar mitzvah on Purim as well. Said a friend, they almost decided to make... it's rare, but it's done. Do you know the Weinbergers? You know the Weinberger family? They are making a bar mitzvah. They made a bar mitzvah this week. His bo bayom was this past Sunday night, but he was laning on Shabbos. Usually the party follows Shabbos. So they were thinking about having a Purim party for the bar mitzvah. And it's halachically permissible. He spoke about this, actually. But they ended up, it wasn't practical, so they moved it up this past Sunday, and it was all confusing, because the party was 6 days before Shabbos, but okay, what did you do? But it was Bo Bayom, that worked out well, but he said people were all confused. People came to Shul HaShabbos, because they thought it was the Shabbos before, because the party's after. And all I know is, they just mentioned their Chagav is Dvar Torah, and it's halachically permissible. Because then that's this mechaber. That's right here. The marvit is im marvit does not apply to Purim.
But wait, it's good because then it's been half a chul. It's very Purimistic to have everybody be confused.
Yes, I think he mentioned that as well. I don't think that the person who accidentally showed up in shul on Shabbos for the bar mitzvah necessarily felt the same way. Well, especially if he came for Shabbos from outside the room, right?
I don't know. How many feel like he's still holding on his own gallows, but you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When we had, when my son, when my son Bitsala was born, this is a little more than 10 years ago. He just turned 10 and one quarter. I know when you're 10, you're not allowed to keep quarter birthdays, but we happened to figure that out. So you know how like you stop keeping your quarter birthdays when you're like, you know, 7 or something like that, or 8, whatever. Okay, he's 10, just turned 10 and a quarter. So Bitsala, I remember a little more than 10 years ago when he was born, there was a very prominent rabbi who we have a close relationship with him, and he's very excited, and he took time out of his very busy schedule, made sure to come for Bitsala's bris. So we're there. We lived in Englewood at the time, so we're there at Avas Torah, where, you know, I went to Davin, like Shacharis, whatever, regular morning, and he shows up for the bris on Monday morning. And he says, Mazel Tov, I'm so excited to be here, where's the bris going to be? And I said, Rabbi, I don't know how to break the news to you, but the bris is tomorrow. He made a very long trip out of his very busy schedule, but he came so early that he came a day early. He came Monday instead of Tuesday. He just got the date wrong. So he came back the next day, and we gave him a keyboard. It was appropriate. We think about it anyway. Like, we have to give him a keyboard. He changed not once, but twice for the bris, so it's for sure. Okay, coming back. So the Chabad said, Mutri Lisa Yeshiva Purim. So then, the Rama writes that that's true both on Purim and Purim Katan. He says, all the more so, Kal v'chomer, you're allowed to make a pidyon on a ben. Fine. So now it comes to us. So says the Rama, Mashinagu lilbosh partsufim bepurim. Right? The gever lo vesh simlas isha, vi isha kli gever. The practice, what? Partsufim masks. Right? Right, that as he's not talking about the mask per se, but he's saying the fact that as part of getting dressed up on Purim, people cross dress in both directions. Ein iser badavar, based on the Ma'arimins. Ein iser badavar me'achar she'ein mechavnin ela l'simcha ba'alma, because they only intend for pure joy. V'chin bilavishas, right? Because they only intend for pure joy. Meaning what? They're not doing it for what? For pritzos, they're doing it for simcha, so therefore it's permissible. V'chein bilvishas kilayim d'rabanan. Similarly, when it comes to wearing kilayim d'rabanan, there was a minhag to wear kilayim, and they justify d'rabanan because maybe the iser what? If they're less interwoven, they're not shesi v'irvin quite the same way, and that's quoted as well. V'yeshom da'aser, however, says the Rama, avah minhag kesvar harishon. The Rama says the minhag is to cross dress and pour it. V'chein b'nei adam achud v'in zem mizeh der simcha, and similarly, people who steal from one another in a way of simcha, in bazem mishum lo sigzal. You're allowed to grab things from one another. V'nahagu kach, and that's the minhag as well. Uvavad shelo yasu davar shelo kehogan al pitovei ha'ir. But the rabbis, the community, are allowed to make a takana and say this is no longer acceptable. You can't do this. But short of that, it would be permissible. Yes.
And why is stealing from people being you happy?
It was like a game.
Get their stuff.
What do you mean? To make you happy or them happy? It was a royal. It's a game. It's a prank. Yeah, yeah. It's like the kids who used to tie the talis on the sefer. You know, like people don't do that anymore. But it used to be that like little kids would always tie everyone's talisim. You know what I'm talking about? Some Torah, like double knot, triple knot, quadruple knot, and like violate on the sentence. But whatever, that's a separate issue. But like, you know what I'm talking about?
Like in the office when they stole Andy's phone and they put it like his roof.
Okay,
and
so.
And it was
so that's what we're talking about over here. Now this is the psak of the Rama, but you guys should just know that even though the Rama is generally someone that we rely upon, it's not such a simple matter of the halacha. First of all, the Sephardic poskim generally did not accept this. Rav Avadia has a tshuva nichavadas, I think Schela Kesim and Nun, and he like rails against this, and he's very upset about all of these men, including the Purim Rabbi, the theft, the whole nine yards. He's extremely what? I think he thinks it's not nice, but he doesn't think it's usser. By the way, he even says that even ketanim shouldn't cross-dress because of chinuch. It's bad chinuch. You shouldn't have them do when they're younger and everyone deal with their older. Ravani was extremely strict about this. I'm going to tell you my theory about the Ashna. I'll tell you right now, and then I'll tell you what the Ashna is. What was the difference? Why is it that there was greater receptivity to these minhagim in the Ashkenazi community and the Sephardic community, especially in the Ashkenazic yeshivos? So one was because they had this medieval thing, etc. But I have a theory about the more recent yeshiva world. In general, the Eastern European Ashkenazic yeshivas, the Litvish yeshivas, had very sort of heavy, sort of very difficult circumstances, unpleasant circumstances. Eastern Europe was a really unpleasant place in general. It was cold, Chorev Zman was long, people were exhausted, these kinds of things. And in general, in Lita, it wasn't exactly the most happy-go-lucky place, right? That was part of the reason that earlier in Eastern Europe, the Hasidic movement had started, in part as a response to the just like the, you know, the lack of simcha among 18th century, you know, Jewish communities. Like that was part of why Hasidus rose, because people were dirt poor, they were very unhappy, it was a very difficult and painful existence, okay? And, you know, this was kind of what they would do. So my theory is that Purim was a release. Purim was a release for the Ashkenazic yeshivos, because conditions were so harsh and so difficult that it's like they were like plotting to just like break free. And that's why Purim, I think, is strategically located in the Jewish calendar. Familiar with us? That's why Purim is strategically located in the Jewish calendar, because it's like it's a little bit of a healthy release. And I think that that's actually part, big part of what's going on. And I can prove it to you.
What do you mean strategically?
I don't think it was intentionally put there for that time, but I mean it works out well for the yeshivos. In other words, it makes sense because like the guys are kind of like after a long dark winter, you know, people are it's not unhealthy to have a little bit within proper healthy parameters, but if it's bounded religiously and it's properly directed, it can actually be a healthy release at toward the end of a very long zman. And I think that that explains one of the minhagim. I like to explain this, that, right, there's a question, let's say it's a leap year and you start Adar Rishon. Right? So we start Adar Rishon. When do we generally celebrate most of the mitzvahs of Purim? Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni? How do we paskin? Right? So Sugya and Megillah, but we paskin Adar Sheni. Now, there are questions about Adar Rishon. For example, we generally paskin Yahrzeit is observed in Adar Rishon, although there's a major machlokes Rishon about that issue. And the next drama is actually about that. And other things, it's not entirely clear that Adar Sheni is the pure Adar, and there are different explanations for it. That's a separate Sugya. Well, when's the birthday? That kind of thing. Generally, birthdays are celebrated Adar Rishon, probably. Some people are machbid. What, you were born in Adar Bet. Some people, so in that case, generally celebrate an Adar Bet. The question is, if you're born in Adar, what do you do then? Adar, you have a birthday katan. Like, you know, Purim katan, birthday katan, Yom HaAdar katan.
I'm saying during regular year, do I?
No, probably Adar Sheni. Oh, during a regular year. Oh, so then, yes, you have a birthday. Oh, that's your question. Do you have a birthday?
The funny thing is when you have twins.
That's the March.
You have twins at, like, right in Maariv time. And one of them is born the last day of Adar Aleph, and the other one's born the last day of Adar Bet.
So the Weinberger is born. So Yisrael Weinberger, the one that's this bar mitzvah, his mom went into labor on Zion Adar Rishon. I think it was Rishon. It was definitely Zion Adar, February 29th.
Wow.
But he wasn't born until what? Ches Adar, what? And March 1st. Had he been born earlier, the bris would have been on Purim, and he would have been 4 years old instead of 13. But what can you do? But
I'm saying like the bar mitzvahs of these two babies, one of them born the last day of Adar Aleph, yeah. One of them the first day of Adar Bet.
Right.
The person who's younger has the bar mitzvah a month before the person.
Right. That's actually a real thing. That's not a joke. That's a real thing. Yeah. It could be like 3 weeks and 6 days difference, four weeks, whatever. It's true. It's plausible. Yes. Halachically.
So if I'm born earlier in Adar Bet and someone else is born, like not in the twins' case, like someone's born. Some other person was born at the end of Adar
Aleph,
born at the end of Adar Bet,
a
little younger than
the man. Right. You can celebrate Mitzvah. Yeah. No different, huh? Girls can have a Bat Mitzvah before the boy. I know, so. Yeah, it's weird. It's true, though. Anyhow, why was I saying all this? Because here's the question. When do you start, when does the halacha...
I have a Bat Mitzvah at 12.
English.
Naruto was 2 weeks before my...
Thank you.
Like, 3 weeks before my...
Okay, but half people do that. That's true for 50% of the population. Okay. Okay, yeah. All right. Ah, so here's the question. Mishenechnas Adar Marvim Nesimcha. Does that then start another Rishon or another Sheni? In a leap year?
Both.
Right? So in the yeshivos, if you'll see, in almost all the yeshivos, as soon as Adar Rishon comes, they're like, Misha, 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 like that. Now, did anyone ever stop and say, is it really true, once we're celebrating all the halachos of Purim in Adar Sheni, is it pasha that Mishenechnas Adar Marvim Mesimcha starts in Adar Rishon? There's a lot of lumbus there. It's not so simple, okay? It's a good Purim Torah during the leap year. What? Okay, but does that generate Mishenechnas Adar Marvim Mesimcha? It's a question, what? Yeah, but is that okay? Cops. There's a lot of longos to be had. But notice, most people don't have the discussion. It's like, why? What's bad? So there is a real discussion we had, but I hold this just like, because it's just a raya, that like, part of it is that it's a healthy release. So like, okay, it's a leap year. It's just, it's been just as long of Chorus month. So like, it's healthy for the yeshiva, and we let it slide, like that kind of thing. Even, it could be justifiable, but it's not mukhrach that it's justified. Okay, anyhow, so that's my theory is what the difference in Ashkenazim and Sephardim. Now, for full disclosure, though, the truth is that more recent poskim have turned away from this practice, although they've left some room for some degree of leniency. So there are many poskim, though, who more recently turned against the Rambam. But it became increasingly less common after the Middle Ages in Ashkenaz, especially as they moved to Eastern Europe. That's correct, but it was shortly after, and he was receiving the Ashkenazic tradition, right? The Rambam codifies the Ashkenazic tradition. But soon after the Rama already, it seems that this was opposed and generally fell out of use over the course of the next few hundred years, so that the Taz opposes this practice, quoting his father-in-law, the Bach. So that the, the Aruch HaShulchan says that this is no longer the minhag in our communities. The Mishabura discourages it, quoting the Knesset Zagdol. In other words, so that's become more common. In today's world, though, the minhag has to some degree come back, right? It's not just here or in Frisch or wherever, it's actually much more common. So there's currently some discussion among the posts. I don't know if there's a clear consensus about this kind of issue. Like, can we revive that minhag? You know, what we've done here is to draw the distinction between full-fledged and a layering on top. So that's been our minhag. And there's shitos in the posts that hold that the whole halacha is when you're fully cross-dressed. Because if you hold like that Rashi, that's a good svara. Because no one's going to think if you're basically dressed as a man, but you have one or two things overlaid on top, that you're going to walk into the women's locker room. Right? You're close. You're bored of that. Right? You're good. No, I don't think you can get away with it.
I have to say, I can never miss Pearl like 3 times. A lot of people
have. That's a particularly good one. But, that's fine.
It's just the face. Like, what? I can be wearing nothing.
And you still resemble your parents. Like, right. No, it makes it easier. Right. That's why his sister looks like him. Okay, so Bahuadin, Bahuatam. Except for the red hair, that makes this rose things off. Anyhow, so that's in terms of the issue of cross-dressing. The issue of stealing is also has a similar history of reception in the post-game. In terms of that, there's a parallel issue. Now the Gemara, the Rambam, right? The Rambam says it's usher to steal as a joke.
Oh, wait, okay.
The Shulchan Aruch says it's usher to steal as a joke. Okay? All year round, and even on Purim. What? You always have to steal to get an iPad. You never have your own. What?
But I also
There's machlokas among the achronim whether goniv on maslami. Stealing is a joke, is usher midrash or usher midrabanan. If that's gezel min haTorah or not. What's the svara? The svara there also is what's pshat gzeila? Is it merely causing someone a loss, right? Or is it kind of right? Is it the act of kind of invading someone's privacy and causing them emotional damage as well? There's an additional question: are you mochel? Are you mochel? Right, that's a big part of it. Maybe there's an implicit mechila, right? That if everyone steals as a joke from everyone on Purim, then it's implicitly understood that it's okay. Now, there's a real makor for this, and it's a sugya, it's a mishnah in Sukkah, and that's on Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph. So the mishnah says that at the end of Sukkot, what would happen was that the adults would run after the children, they would be shomtin lulavim, they would grab their lulavim, and they would take their esrogim and start eating them. So instead of the kids running after the parents and tying their talisim, there was revenge, I guess, right? Where we mocked them true from the makkah, and even before some of the surah came, some of the surah didn't exist as it does today, but the parents would run and they would take away the estrogen and start eating them. They took away, they grabbed their lulavim, and ve'ochlim estrogeha, and they would eat their estrogen. So Mishnah makes it sound like there's some basis for such frivolous behavior. And one of my favorite tososim in all of Shas, I don't want to say best tososim, because there's a Gemara says that you're not allowed to say that one sugya is better than another sugya. You guys know that?
Yeah.
It's a Gemara. Can't say that because they're implying that when it's like those who say you can't stand for a Aseres HaDibros to certain parts of the Torah because you don't want to imply that one part is more kedush than the other, but we take this seriously but not the other thing seriously. So the Gemara says you can't say this sugya is better, but I think it is. The posting general you say you can say this is my favorite. It's not intrinsically better, but I'm attracted to this. So this happens to be one of my favorite toasts in Shas. It's a great one. It's very funny. I have a good friend, Ezra Frazier. He used to run the Chidon HaTanach. He's a smart guy. Ezra used to quote, he loved quoting the toasts all the time. Like made it in my circles, he made it famous. So it says, "Says Masal Miyad and Daf Memheim and Alf and Sukkah." Miyad Tinoko Shom Tan Milvein Luvei Hatinokos Shom Tin Hagadol Miyadam VeOchem Esrogeim Shal Tinokos VeIn BaDavar Gezel VeLo Mishum Darchei Shalom. There's no violation of Gezel or kind of creating ill will or strife in the community. El Shekach Nagubo Machmas Simcha Kach Pirish Hakodesh. Quoting Rashi, that this is a form of Simcha, very similar to Marimin. It's a form of Simcha, like the Ramah. Form of Simcha, form of Simcha. So says Tosos, like the right. You ever hear of like a medieval times? There's this place in North Jersey called Medieval Times. You can go and you can actually see a reenactment of medieval jousting and the like. So he says, "V'yesh l'mon mikhan." It's amazing. "Le'osan bachurim," to those young men, "sheruchvin basusim l'kras chasan," who ride on horses toward the chasan at a wedding, "v'nilchonim ze'im ze'," and joust with one another. They fight. "V'kor in bigdo shel chavero," and they tear one another's clothing. "O mekalkel osuso eronis horse, shim turin," they are exempt, "shekach nagu machmas simchas chasan," because they did that only because of the joy of the wedding, to be mesameach chasan mekala. So Tosas defends the practice of joisting at weddings. So mefurish in Tosas, like it's amazing, right? You see in medieval times, the Jews at weddings, it's like great. So if you ever want a really, really, really good shtick, you can be Toman Tosas. So mefurish in Tosas, what can you do? It's like black on white, better Purim Shtick than anything else I've ever seen, that's for sure. So I don't know if I would recommend it. You'd better practice beforehand, but it is. Who am I to disagree with Tosas? I mean, it's right there. By the way, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Tosas, black and white, in Shulchan Aruch. Things in your day. So it's very clear. Anyhow, so that's in terms of the Gezel. Now, what about the Purim Rabbi? So the Purim Rabbi is an interesting thing. Here also, Ashkenazic Yeshivas had the Minhag and Sephardic Yeshivas did not have the Minhag. And what's the history for this? And what's the basis? So it's based probably on the Gemara Kiddushin. The Gemara Kiddushin, the Aflam and Aleph, which we'll get to, God willing, in a little while. Like, 2 months. We'll see if you guys are still here. But borderline in terms of what you guys are still here for. But the Gemara says, the Gemara has two deos as to whether or not a Talmud Chacham can be Mochal Kvodo. But the Pasha says that it's Torah delay, that he acquires the Torah, the Gemara seems to conclude, and says that therefore he can be Mochel on his Kavod. So presumably, those, although it's not in the Ramah, those who had the Minhag to play the Purim Rabbi, which is probably a little bit of a later development, it seems that that has a basis in the Halacha being Mochel al Kavodo. The truth is, though, Rav Avadya still is opposed to it, and he has a scathing attack on playing the Purim Rabbi and Purim Shtills in general. He says, inevitably, you mock the Rebbe or someone else. This is a terrible thing. What? Yeah, he did. I have a vague memory. And, right? And he says that it's, that the Gemara says that, the Gemara says it's a harik, the Gemara says that it's a harik val yavor to, right? Habanas me chavero. The Gemara says, better to throw yourself into a fiery furnace than to embarrass your friend publicly. And Tosa says that it's, based on that Gemara, that it's a harik val yavor. I mean, Yuna amplifies that as well. Very, very strict avera. And then on top of it, there's a Gemara that says, something like that. The Gemara says that even worse than that, that being mezalzel in a Talmud Chacham is a particularly egregious sin. As Gemara in Shabbos on the Afkot Yotest, it says that the reason that Beis Hamikdash was destroyed is because they were mezalzel b'chol Talmud Chachamim. Rav Avadya just rips the entire thing. That's in Spartacus. Right, Spartacus Heroes, they needed their release, so they did it.
He said, of course, that it was pre-recorded, it's okay.
Ah, right, so that's Mufurash. No, so that's one of the answers, is that right? That if it's done carefully without being mezalzel on the Rebbe, that would be permissible. I told you guys, and I think Shmuel, you might have told the story, I don't remember anymore, this is the famous story in Volozhin, right, about the Netziv, played by Rav Kook. So, right, the story was that they had a Purim Rebbe every single year in Volozhin, the greatest of yeshivos. And the one of the brightest stars among the Talmidim played the Rebbe, and Rav Kook was chosen to play the Netziv. And he did it. And afterward, he felt terribly because he kind of did a really good job of playing his Rebbe. Okay, don't tell your dad. They gave it to the Netziv. So anyhow, so the story was that the Netziv's grandson, Rav Meir Bialan, was one of the star Talmidim in Merkaz Harav, which is the yeshiva that Rav Kook founded and was the Rosh Yeshiva of. And then sort of Kook was played by the Netziv grandson in the Purim Shpiel at Merkaz Harav, which was of course inspired by the Rosh Yeshiva's Shpiel that he used to play in the Yeshiva of Volozhin. So it goes around, right? It comes around, goes around that Rav Kook did it to the Netziv, and his grandson gave it back to him. But there are different menhagim about this as well. The bottom line, but Rav Kook, he did it in his yeshiva, so apparently I think they pre-recorded it though, and they censored it very carefully. Charts to censor the fact. I didn't have a faculty shiel, but so maybe they should have. Tzorachi and Gadol. Anyhow, the bottom line is that Simcha and Purim is important, and Purim is a day that is something of a rule breaker. It's very different in many ways than any other day on the calendar. You know, for some it's an exception, for others it's exemplary of, you know, sort of the simcha with which we should live our entire lives, right? The Pasuk in Kitava, what does it say? Right? Tafas Ashaloha, right? Hashem Kefa, Bisumcha, right? So the idea of Simcha being an essential part of Avodas Hashem. So therefore, I wish everyone two brachos. Number one, that first of all, we shouldn't go too far, be like the Shikorim, and everyone should have a very safe, responsible, you know, completely sober, a healthy, appropriate Purim, and yet at the same time, that we should enjoy the Simcha Shel Mitzvah, that it should be a time of Islavos, a time of being uplifted, and we should really achieve Kirskarvos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, closeness to God and thankfulness for all the Nisim in our own lives and then Klal Yisrael through our Simcha this coming Purim. Freilich, and I can't say Chag Sameach, because by my own shita, Chag is on as Chagiga. There's no Chagiga in Purim, but I've decided it's a Moed. So in Moed Tov, a Simcha Dikur Purim too.